Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer, WNYC. Where did you move from and to in the last 10 years? So we want to know where and why on our new webpage called Map Your Moves. It's simple. Just write down on our site where you have moved from and moved to anytime in the last 10 years and list a reason why. It'll just take a minute. Once we have everyone's moving data, we're going to turn it into a beautiful map. So please visit our brand new Map Your Moves page and write down where you have moved from and to in the last 10 years. If you've moved to your current home from around the corner or around the world, we want to know. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show. So we will do a little Obama gay rights checklist here on Gay Pride Week with the big Gay Pride Parade coming up in New York on Sunday. Still with us is Thomas Creevers. Creever from the Hetrick Martin Institute and Harvey Milk High School, Constance McMillan, the high school student who's going to be one of the grand marshals at the parade, had to go. But also joining us, Michael Labors, national news editor for the LGBT-oriented Edge Media Network. Hi, Michael. Welcome back to WNYC.
Good morning, Brian.
And here is President Obama on Tuesday night. Somehow, while figuring out whether to fire General McChrystal, he managed to do a Gay Pride Week speaking event at the same time. He refers here to hate crimes legislation and hate crimes murder victim Matthew Shepard.
Last year, I met with Judy Shepard, Matthew Shepard's mom, and I promised her that after a decades-long struggle, we would pass inclusive hate crimes legislation. I promised that in the name of her son, we would ensure that the full might of the law is brought down on those who would attack somebody just because they are gay. And less than 6 months later, with Judy by my side, we marked the enactment of the Matthew Shepard Act. It is now the law of the land.
President Obama, Tuesday night. Michael, do the Obama gay rights checklist for us briefly. What has he done? What hasn't he done? What was that hate crimes legislation that he was talking about?
Sure, and I think that the clip that you just highlighted, Brian, is one of the more significant accomplishments that the Obama administration has actually done since it took office. And I think it's important to point out that this particular bill that he signed happened less than 3 weeks before a particularly tragic case in Puerto Rico where a gay teenager was stabbed and decapitated, quite literally. So this certainly highlights and this, again, is really one of the more tangible things he's done. But looking at the bigger picture, you're hearing a lot of rumblings within the community, activists in particular, that Obama has not done enough to tackle some of the more, I guess, big-ticket items. We're talking about, you know, pressuring Congress to actually repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell. We're talking about the passage of the Employment Non-Discrimination Act and these other bigger picture things. So on one hand, folks are certainly happy that the administration signed this hate crimes bill into law, but there's an argument, and you're hearing increasing criticisms from folks that he needs to do a lot more to actually advance the broader collective agenda.
Isn't he pressuring Congress to pass Don't Ask, Don't Tell? Isn't that almost a fait accompli at this point?
He certainly is indicating that he does support the repeal of it, but it's important to note that as this process continues, there's still folks being discharged under the policy, and certainly a lot of folks are complaining that the administration has actually not done enough to intercede and intervene and stop these discharges from happening is one example. Another thing that folks continue to complain about is that he's not doing enough to push for the repeal of the Defense of Marriage Act, that's a particularly sore point for a number of folks in the community.
And that's the law passed in the 90s that gives states the right not to recognize marriages performed in other states if they're gay marriages, which they passed, I guess, so as not to nationalize, in effect, gay marriage, so that you know, everybody couldn't just run to one state that has gay marriage, get married, and then go back to their home states. And that's the Defense of Marriage Act. You mentioned the employment discrimination. Can employers in the private sector refuse to hire people just on the basis of their sexual orientation?
If you look at, there's a patchwork of laws in states. New York is one of them where, in terms of sexual orientation, you know, that's not allowed. But looking at the federal level, there's nothing on the books that actually, you know, prohibits discrimination and employment against, you know, people based on their sexual orientation, gender identity. So that certainly affects a lot of, that could potentially impact a lot of people, especially when you're talking about, you know, the current economic situation and so on and so on. So you're looking at that at a federal perspective, but a number of states have actually enacted laws that do prohibit discrimination based on sexual orientation and also gender identity in a handful of cases with regards to employment.
Do you know our local states with respect to that? How is New York, how's New Jersey, how's Connecticut with respect to those employment discrimination laws?
New Jersey specifically does ban discrimination based on LGBT collectively. New York, sexual orientation, the gender expression on the gender bill just passed a, actually no, let's take it back. The state assembly actually struck down the gender bill, which would have added gender identity and expression to the state's laws. I believe Connecticut does ban explicitly on both accounts.
And listeners, we can take a few more of your same-sex prom date stories or anything else now on the president's gay rights checklist, 212-433-WNYC, just for the next few minutes. So call up, you'll get right in, 212-433-9692. Thomas, want to weigh in briefly on how the president is doing?
Yeah, I think it's a mixed bag at the moment, and I just think it's indicative of how much further we still have to go. At Hetrick Martin Institute, on our website at hmi.org, we still get over 500 email pleas from young people throughout the country, if not the world, every month. So clearly there's still a lot of work out there to be done.
And a lot of work even among the present generation, even though we were hearing in the last segment the stories of generational progress.
Exactly. The new generation app actually has new challenges that even I didn't have with you know, bullyism on the cyber in the cyber world. And so it really means that adults, even legislation, needs to start really redefining and getting up to speed with how bullyism and victimization can now transform itself for the new technology age.
In fact, you know, the clips we've been playing of the president were from Tuesday night where he was at this event. Well, the president already knew at that time about the Rolling Stone article on General McChrystal. And this hasn't been widely reported, but Michael Avers, I imagine you know this. Did you notice that a little gay bashing was part of that whole thing? When McChrystal had to attend a dinner in Paris with a French diplomat, one of McChrystal's aides told the reporter, "It's effing gay," attending the dinner with the minister. Did you know that?
I actually didn't, and that's the first time I heard of it. But, it's certainly coincident, perhaps beyond coincidental, that this would come out on the same night that the president was speaking at the gay LGBT pride reception. So certainly an interesting parallel to what we're talking about now with Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Thomas Krieger from Harvey Milk.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And, boy, is that a powerful message on how much further we need to go. And what message are we telling young people when the upper echelons of government and those that advise them are still saying these derogatory and horrific remarks?
And I don't think that's what got McChrystal fired, but that was considered acceptable language to say to a reporter. What is the phrase? Do you hear it at Harvey Milk, the phrase, "It's so gay"? That's so gay.
Absolutely. And the tragic part of it is that so many young people who say it don't even realize what it is that they're saying. And it's, on some level, our young people say it's become the new N-word, where it's still acceptable in so many different places, including the schoolyards, to call people gay. And it's meant as an insult. This past year, two young people took their lives by strangulation and other, not because they were gay, because they both professed to not be, but because there was nothing worse in their lives that they could imagine to be called than to be presumed gay.
Meredith writes on our website, I went to the Cleveland, Ohio public schools and the prom with my girlfriend in 1996. We double dated with the only other gay couple at our school, two guys. We bought the tickets as co-ed couples. Everyone in our high school knew that we were gay. The four of us were the only members of a gay-straight alliance we started at our school. Good for Constance for being more honest than we were. Rich in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Rich.
Hi, Brian. Thanks so much for taking my call. I just wanted to mention, and I'm an activist here in this city in a couple of different groups on the ground, and I wanted to mention that we're sort of thrilled with what President Obama has been saying. No other president has said what he has been saying. But until we achieve full legal equality in all 50 states, essentially with an amendment to the 1964 Civil Rights Act to cover both LGBT and gender identity issues and people, you know, all of these other piecemeal issues just aren't going to cut it. And I'm not willing to wait another generation or two until my family is fully protected under all civil law in all 50 states of the United States of America. I'm a citizen. And that's all there is to it, really. I mean, there's no other argument at this point that anyone can offer us saying, well, you need to sit and wait for 20 more years. You need to sit and, you know, and hold on and wait until your turn. No, I'm a citizen of the United States.
So your political agenda is to just get the 1964 Civil Rights Act amended so it includes sexual orientation.
And gender identity, and that also the repealing the Defense of Marriage Act, because there's a question as to whether or not legally an amendment to the Civil Rights Act would actually cover marriage issues as well.
All right, let me play devil's advocate with you for a minute on defense of marriage. People would say the Defense of Marriage Act is very different from a constitutional amendment banning gay marriage. What that act does is simply to allow states to get there one at a time, to have their own conversations and their own politics. And so just because, you know, Rhode Island might have gay marriage, that doesn't mean that has to be recognized in Mississippi.
I'm a citizen of the United States of America. My marriage should go with me across state lines.
Rich, thank you for your call. Is 1964 Civil Rights Act, Michael Laver's, on the agenda, or is that not something that's active? That's, you know, a framing that Rich has to put it in the context of full human rights and full citizenship, but that's not where legislators are going.
I know there has been a small core of folks who've tried to advocate for that, but I think what the caller is saying goes back to the broader point. When you're talking about the administration folks, there's certainly certainly pleased to hear him make all these broad statements in support of LGBT Americans, and they're really, you know, it's appreciated. But, you know, the bigger issue is that they need to see action as opposed to, you know, really, you know, nice sounding rhetoric. Mm-hmm. And, you know, certainly folks are starting to question whether the administration has done all that it can or is willing to do all that it can to advance the broader agenda.
You know, it seems to me we're at this kind of funny moment in the evolution of gay equality under the law. More and more Americans seem to say, in theory, that everyone is equal and they have no judgment about gay behavior, no problem with that. But when it comes to actual policy change, then each thing looks like the big, bright line you can't cross. Like, there's nothing wrong with being gay, but marriage is different. Marriage is sacred. Or there's nothing wrong with being gay, but the military, they need to be ready for anything, so that's different. There's nothing wrong with being gay, but employers have to be comfortable with their workers. Do you agree we're on this funny bubble in that way, Thomas?
I think that's absolutely right. I mean, it gets to a point where when the foot has to hit the pedal and people have to decide what the next step is, it really goes back to so much more than just legislation. It's about what people really believe internally and how they promote or act upon it. It's really a collective decision based on very singular opinion and views.
But to me, it's almost like that ability to act and take the next step is a step behind what people actually think, you know, because if they're saying, well, I don't really have a problem with that. It's okay. Everybody can be what they are. It's okay. But marriage, but the military, but the workplace. Right. One more prom story. Andy in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hey, I just wanted to say that I'm from Maine, and we had a gay prom through a group called Outright Maine, and they're actually still active, but we just had our own, and it was a big to-do, and everyone dressed up, and it was like the regular prom, but me and my boyfriend at the time didn't want to go to the regular prom, so we went to this one instead.
What year was that?
1998.
So if you had a to-do today, would you want to do it that way, or would it be progress to all be able to go to the same prom?
I'd rather go to the same prom, which I did, but with we just went as a group. You know, me and my friends, we all went as a group, like 20-something, as a group. And but they still actually have this gay prom still going on today.
In addition. All right, Andy, thank you very much. And along those lines, ELB writes on our website, proud to say that the New York Public Library, where I work, holds an annual anti-prom party for teenagers who do not feel comfortable in traditional prom settings. This year, the theme was Glam Prom. We had more than 500 kids from the metro area attend at the main branch, and they presented a fashion show of their prom creations. Clearly, there's still a need in New York, as well as for safe alternative proms. Wish Constance could have been there. And so, again, we thank Constance McMillan, who's going to be one of the grand marshals at the Gay Pride Parade in New York on Sunday after what happened to her at her prom. We thank Michael Lavers, national news editor for the LGBT-oriented Edge Media Network, and we thank Thomas Creever from the Hetrick Martin Institute and Harvey Milk High School. Thanks to you all.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a minute, Albany goes for a loft law for New York City. Artists are happy. Mayor Bloomberg isn't. We'll find out why.